You have your Bibles today. We're in 2 Timothy, the second letter that Paul wrote to his young friend and protege, Timothy. And after he offers a word of greeting to him, he writes, "I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Lord, use us today. Use these words. May they be a beacon of light, hope for those in the congregation. Help us to know that we have a difference to make. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is Mother's Day. If you didn't know that, if you've been completely caught off guard, you have my permission to leave the worship service. You may go and run and try to find a card in this town. You probably won't. Or flowers, they're picked clean. No florist is open now, I don't think. Or nurseries. You might have to go to Lowe's or Home Depot. I don't know. Hopefully you've taken care of this day. Maybe it was breakfast delivered in bed this morning, or lunch this afternoon, or as one mother said, "That sounds like a good idea," which is this idea: "I just want to be left alone today. Just let me do what I want to do when I want to do it." I wonder if you know that Mother's Day got its start in the Methodist denomination. There was a woman many years ago named Anne Marie Jarvis, a Methodist from West Virginia. Her daughter, Anna, led a campaign in the early 1900s to have Mother's Day recognized as a national holiday. Anna heard her mother, Anne, say that she wished that one day Mother's Day would be set apart to remember and to honor mothers, those who had died and those who were alive. Anna's mother died in 1905, and Anna started the campaign to start Mother's Day. 3 years later, on May the 10th, 1908, there was a program at their home church at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in West Virginia. The next year, the program happened again, and Anna bought 500 carnations, white and red, to give out to the women in her church. In the years that followed, she bought 1,000 the next year. She wanted to take this to the next level, and so she wrote to business owners and pastors and elected officials wanting to take it to the next level. And so one business owner says, "You can have it at my place." And so they had a special Mother's Day celebration. 5,000 chairs were set out, and about 8,000 people showed up. Boy, I'd love to have that problem here on a Sunday morning, right? And so some had to be turned away. Anna was the speaker for that first gathering that took almost an hour to speak about the value and the influence that mothers have. The governor of West Virginia set aside in 1910 the second Sunday of May as Mother's Day in his state. Most states followed suit the next year, and in 1914, it was proclaimed a national holiday, all because of a Methodist from West Virginia. How about that? I want to say this. This may be a tough day for some. For some, mom wasn't the source of strength we needed. I don't know. For others, it's a yearly reminder that mom isn't here on earth. Today's the first Mother's Day without my mom here. She died last July. Maybe this is the first year since that happened for you too. Or maybe you've desperately wanted to be a mother and haven't been able to have that happen. Or you had a child that died. I don't know. Or maybe you were like a mother to somebody else. A strong influence. All those things kind of come together today. So maybe it's a tough day. Or maybe it's a joyous day. But it's the day that we set apart. In planning for today's sermon, I remembered this passage from Paul's second letter to his young protege and friend Timothy. Early on in what we've come to call the first chapter, you got to remember, we put chapters and verses on the scripture. Paul writes these words, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure lives in you." That just seems right today for our scripture lesson. But I want to say this. It is not just a passage for mothers on Mother's Day. It goes deeper. Choir, are y'all with me?
Yes.
It also speaks to a mentor who makes a difference on a young pastor to be, right? There are two words I want you to hold on to this morning. Here's the first, remind. And here's the second, rekindle. I'll come back to those in just a few moments. Let me remind you of what you probably already know. In the little town of Lystra, a middle-aged missionary by the name of Paul and a teenager whose name was Timothy struck up a friendship that lasted a lifetime. Timothy's father was not a believer, but his mother was, and so was his grandmother. Their faith, along with Paul's guidance, shaped Timothy's life so much that Timothy became a leader in the early church, becoming pastor at the church of Ephesus eventually. He was with Paul when he visited Corinth and Philippi. And Timothy was thinking about giving up on the faith because ministry, am I wrong? Sometimes can be really hard. Most ministers quit on Monday morning. And then Monday afternoon, say, well, okay. Not all of us, but sometimes that happens. Am I wrong? No, it happens. So he was thinking about all that. And so Paul wrote to him and said, I want to remind you of what's inside of you. Paul is a mentor to Timothy. Having mentors is important, right? Sometime back, I asked you to consider watching the movie The Forge. Did anybody do it? Good. It's a story of a business owner who takes a chance on a young man. And not only does he hire him in his business, he mentors him, and it made all the difference in the world. I want to encourage you to think about your mentors and someone who has influenced you strongly. I'd like to tell you about one of mine. May I do so this morning? In 1992 and 1993, between my second and fourth year of seminary, I did an internship in Fordyce, Arkansas. Had two opportunities, a very large church, Boston Avenue United Methodist Church in Tulsa, or First United Methodist Church in Fordyce. And you think, how do you choose between those two? And I thought, most of the churches I'll serve will be Fordyce, because that was a really large church in Tulsa. And so I went to be the intern there. I got to do associate pastor work. I got to do youth ministry work. And I got to work with a pastor named John Christie. Some of you may know that name. John told me on my first Sunday, you have all the skills you need. I said, good, my internship's over. He said, no. He says, I want to teach you how to be you. You want to teach me how to be me? He says, yeah, hold on. And he taught me who I am and how I act is more than just what I say on a Sunday morning. It was powerful. Now, every chance I get, if there's a young pastor to be, I want to help them. I want to encourage them. That's who Paul was to Timothy. That's who John was to me. And this isn't just for pastors, this is for all of us. I want to encourage you to be a Paul to a Timothy or a Terry to a Vivian. whatever, you know, that's what I want you to do. Help someone along. Now, how did Paul do it? Well, pull out that first word. The word was remind. Paul reminded Timothy of what was already deep inside of him, that was placed in there by God, which nurtured by his grandmother and by his mother. Paul calls that a sincere faith. What is a sincere faith? A sincere, anything that is sincere is real and it's raw and it's genuine and it's honest and it's heartfelt. It's that kind of faith that God put in Timothy that his grandmother helped along and his mother helped along and Paul helped along. And I was just thinking we ought to put that in our children too. Amen? And we ought to help them along. It's what our sons and daughters need. It's what our nieces and nephews need. It's what our grandchildren, every child within our reach needs the most from us. Are y'all with me today? Y'all don't mind if I preach, do you? We help them along with things like birthday cards and encouraging words and teaching them and being examples to them by volunteering on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and teaching Sunday school lessons and Easter extravaganza and being a guard or whatever it is there. It is simple interactions that make the difference. Amen? Amen. On my first Sunday here back in that made a huge difference in my life. Though no children of her own, Miss Nancy taught kids of three generations. She taught year after year, lesson after lesson. We go to her first grade Sunday school class when we were 5 years old, and we'd mark our attendance chart, put the little star there. Anyone ever do that? And there were those little brown wooden Sunday school chairs, and she'd sit at the piano, and we'd sing a song, and she'd teach a lesson. And I came home from that one day when my dad said, "What'd you learn in Sunday school?" I said, "Dad, I learned about how Jesus walked along a seashore and called the disciples to follow him." And I said, "Dad, I think I want to be a preacher when I grow up." 5 years old. I remember her. That was 52 years ago. Part of my faith story comes from her. Will you be a Miss Nancy? So Paul reminds Timothy of his faith. And then he says, "I want to invite you to rekindle it. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is inside you." How did that old Sunday school song go? Don't worry, I won't sing. I promise y'all wouldn't sing very often. But do you remember it? It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around are warming and is glowing. That's how it is with God's love once you've experienced it. You spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. It only takes a spark. It's the way the song goes, right? For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is inside you. What is the gift of God that is inside you? Paul says it's a sincere faith. I think it's the Holy Spirit. What do we do with that gift? Well, we flame it back to fire. We don't give up on it. We want it to burn again with an unquenchable fire. When I was a kid, I grew up in Jackson, Tennessee. Y'all know that. I grew up in a house that had a wood-burning fireplace. Anybody else? I love that wood-burning fireplace. I would sit on the hearth of that wood-burning fireplace as long as I could humanly stand it till my back felt like it was on fire. Anybody else ever do that? And I got up, and I'd kind of move around a little bit, and then I'd do it all over again. My dad built the fires. He gathered the wood. Well, I gathered the wood. But he would bring it inside, and he would start the fires. And at night, before we went to bed, he would close the doors of the fireplace. If he stayed up late enough and we got up early enough, he could open those doors and push some of those glowing embers together, throw on a piece of dry wood, and it was burning bright again. Are y'all with me? So here's what I want to encourage you to do. What embers can we push together so that the fire is burning in our souls again? Might I encourage that if you really want a relationship with the Lord, that you talk to Him, that you pray on a regular basis. Paul talked about pray without ceasing. That is, dial Jesus up first thing in the morning, and before you go to bed at night, say, amen. It's a day spent with the Lord. I think that's really important. Push the embers of prayer together. See what happens. How about a second one? How many of you just pick up your Bible on Sunday morning when you come to church? I want to encourage you to read it every day. Well, where do I start? Well, I think if you start in Genesis and go all the way to Revelation, you're going to get caught in Leviticus and give up. It's hard to read that way. Find a good Bible plan. But what I want to encourage you today to do is to pick a gospel first. My favorite is Luke. I just love the gospel of Luke. And discover again the Jesus of the gospels and how powerful he has been for us. There is a gift deep inside of you, just like there was in Timothy. May we fan it to flame. Maybe God put it there. Maybe your grandmother, Nora, or your mother, Mary, helped to nurture it. If it's burning low, fan it to life. Let's pray together. God, thank you for Paul, who did so much missionary work, but he spent time helping Timothy become Timothy. And because he did, we know about Timothy's ministry. Help us, Lord, to be encouragers like Paul, mentors like Paul, grandmothers like Lois, mothers like Eunice, sincere faith living deep inside of us. And when the embers burn low, Lord, help us to turn to you in prayer and study, and we will discover who we are and who you are all over again. Thank you, Lord, for Paul. Thank you for Timothy. Thank you for Lois, and thank you for Eunice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.